bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba ba
bam cyclone
ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba
bam cyclone.
Yeah, be careful, it's snowing in Florida right now, Bill.
Wait, is it really? In what part of Florida?
I swear to you.
I have relatives. I have some relatives that live there, but my brother-in-law and sister-in-law and nephew are in central Florida, and they said it's like 50, which they can't get snow at 50. Where in Florida is it snowing?
I believe Fort Lauderdale. Remember our old newswoman who is
Amy
now
Sweezy.
A meteorologist?
Yes.
Yes. Sweezy posted something on her Facebook page, and she said a friend videotaped this, and there is snow going down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Here's the sad part of that is, let's say like 8 months ago you said, I don't want to be in the cold in Chicago in January. Florida seems like a pretty good bet. Why don't we try that? We'll spend some money. We'll get a nice hotel and fly down to Florida. And then you have this. You have snow.
It would not be good.
No. Oh, that's awful. So I have relatives that live in Coral Springs, which is about 15 to 20 minutes away from Fort Lauderdale. And they told me the story about the one time it snowed. Now, they grew up in Chicago, so they were used to seeing snow. But to the people of Florida, of South Florida, who had never seen snow before, it was like a miracle. Like, they just stared at it. They didn't know what to make of it. Is it good? Is it bad? They just looked at it. I imagine it would be like the Tom Skilling tape of him seeing the eclipse. It's probably almost the same kind of a feeling, right? Where you're crying, you're happy, you're sad, you're everything.
Who would be happy to see it?
Well, if you live there your whole life and you never saw snow, you go, well, there it is. It's snow. Like, just like we had thought. And there it is, right there. It'd be very peculiar, though. Because it's so... This time of year, I've been to Florida in January, and it's not hot, but it's so much more pleasant than this, you know? But snow is a ripoff. If you lived in Florida, you're getting ripped off.
I know, and I mentioned earlier that, you know, you look at other people's Facebook posts and they went away to tropical locations in Florida to get away from this cold, and then it's snowing. Now I feel better all of a sudden.
Does this make you feel better? Good.
Yes.
Then it accomplished something. That's excellent news. Yesterday on the program, and I don't remember if you did this on the regular show or here on the bonus hour, but you talked about a documentary about Gilbert Gottfried called Gilbert that's on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch it? I watched it last night.
It's on Hulu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw it last night. It's really good.
Do you see what I mean about him being a little dirtier than I was aware of?
He is. And you know what? They made it a point to say that when he and his wife, Dara, were dating, he was really, really clean. And he was. He didn't say any of the words that, you know, are notoriously dirty. And then all of a sudden, once they fell in love and got married, most of his act is really dirty. So what do we learn from that? I can't figure out what the lesson is in that.
Just that maybe he's more comfortable.
Maybe. I guess so. Is that what it is?
She doesn't seem dirty, and it amazed me at like the greeting cards that they gave each other and what was said on the greeting cards.
On every anniversary card, on every holiday card, he puts essentially... F you, and then signs his name Gilbert, and she finds
that
hysterical. Yeah, and she finds it hysterical.
I know, she's very attractive
she's
and
so
very
pretty.
Bright.
Yeah,
and the kids are beautiful.
Yeah.
The little boy looks just like him, I think.
Yeah, yeah,
and a lovely relationship with his sisters and his mother.
Not so much the dad.
You
sense that there
but
were
he
problems.
He died when he was young,
18. Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Gottfried passed away when he was 18. Max Gottfried, who he named his son after his father. He named his daughter after his mother. What a nice tribute that is. But there was a time not that long ago that Gilbert was named the least sexy man alive. Do you remember that? It was a couple years ago.
Well, no, but it makes sense.
Somebody named Gilbert Gottfried as the least sexy human being alive, the least sexy man alive anyway. So then you say, well, and actually they make a point in the documentary of saying his friends are like, what kind of a woman is going to marry Gilbert? Guy, it's not going to happen. She's going to be awful, a troll woman. And then they show Darren. She's stunning.
Beautiful.
And really like everything in the world going for her, and finds him to be so charming. And that, what else do you need? That's so cool.
You know, there was one thing I couldn't get past in the documentary, and they show that he lives, I believe, is it New York?
Yeah.
Where he has this
$3 million
dollar
condo.
Right. But what's weird is there's an elevator right in their
in the apartment
unit.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before.
Yeah, it's not common in New York, but you do see it in some places, and they probably have it here too. Normally an elevator would open up into a hallway, but when you
right.
own the, you know, the whole floor is his. I think it's a three-story apartment. So,
jeez.
Yeah, that's...
Why don't you have something like that?
I don't know. I don't know.
I thought that was so cool to have, like, your own elevator, basically.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool.
I want that.
That would be cool. But I do recommend, if you're a fan of either Gilbert's or just comedy in general, because it really does show that, you know, there's a lot of downtime. When you do stand-up, you know, you're on stage, you're essentially working an hour a night, you know? Friday and Saturday, it's 2 or 3 hours a night. But there's a lot of downtime, and they kind of just show him just kind of mulling around, trying to find something to occupy his time. He is notoriously cheap.
Taking a mega bus to one of his gigs. Bill, what was that?
Right.
Was it to be funny, or is
no.
that for real?
No, that's to save money. That's to save money.
My God.
So over the years, sometimes with you, sometimes without you, I've had him on as a guest. The last several, of course, are here at GN, so you're here for that. So more times than not, and he hasn't done it the last few times, but the first 5, 6, 7 times, he would say as he was leaving, do you have any T-shirts or any books? And what he wants
really?
Is, yeah, like he knows there's a lot of radio swag, so we get sent a lot of books from authors who want to come on, or T-shirts from, you know, people wanting to promote whatever their event is. And then I'd always find him a pile of books and T-shirts, and it was like I gave him a car. He was so enthusiastic. He was so excited. Oh, 3 shirts and 2 books. This is, you know, he'd give me a hug and stuff. He was so happy.
But now this is a guy who has made a lot of money from
Millions.
Disney movies.
Millions.
See, I don't understand that.
Yeah, it's a weird dichotomy. I can't understand it either. It's just, it's, you know, it's a quirky personality, obviously. It's beyond a quirky personality because a lot of times in these scenes where they show the family doing things together, he's more like one of the children. And somebody even says, Dara has 3 children. Dara has, you know, 2 sons and a daughter because he acts more like a kid, you know? And I don't know if that's the worst thing in the world. Is that the worst thing in the world? I don't think it is.
Well, you kind of act like a kid. My husband kind of acts like a kid. I mean, you know.
So isn't there, would you agree, since you're close to that situation both at work and at home, that has its good and its bad points to it, right?
Yeah, but here's the difference. Like when I've seen your wife put her arm around you, you love her.
Yes.
And you can what did you say yesterday? You could canoodle. What did you say yesterday?
Oh, I said kusum tusum at some point.
Okay, you guys look like a kusum tusum.
I still, and Sneed wants money for me saying that. I got to pay Sneed off for saying that.
And, you know, I have kissed my husband as well, because that happens in
yeah.
life, as you've kissed Terry.
Yeah.
But you,
I've kissed your husband a couple times. Sometimes he'll just do something so adorable, I can't help myself.
While wearing mittens.
Yeah.
When Dara put her arm around him, it was like there was no sexuality there.
He seemed
it was
uncomfortable.
Almost... Yeah.
Yeah. And this is a guy, Gilbert's a guy, I hope you know this from being close enough to him. He's very interested in things that are of sexual nature. Very interested. But then when his wife is showing some affection, he seemed to be a little standoffish, right?
And embarrassed and innocent and very uncomfortable.
Right, right, right. Now, when we have him on, because he's coming to town in a couple months, I have to bring this up. And I don't even know if this is such a small part of the documentary about him. The documentary really covers all the good and the bad in his life. And he's had a lot of both, you know. So there's this moment where he's trying to entertain a child who is not his child. He's
funniest
at some
thing
event.
I've ever seen.
So he's trying to find things to say to this little boy. The little boy is about 2 years old. And he doesn't care what Gilbert's trying to do to make him laugh. He's just staring at him. And then Gilbert says, now, to really appreciate this, you have to understand the reference, and it's very, very obscure. There was an actor who made movies in the 1950s and 1960s whose name was John MacGyver. He was kind of an overweight guy, kind of in stature. He looked like Sebastian Cabot from Family Affair. And he'd show up in a lot of movies in real small bit parts. He'd play like a real estate agent or somebody's boss or somebody's uncle who was coming for a visit. He had kind of a British accent. And Gilbert says to this little kid, have you seen my John MacGyver impression? And then he does an impression of this obscure British actor, John MacGyver, and the kid's just staring at him. Wendy, I was laughing so hard I couldn't breathe, because the audacity of him to pull out that reference on anybody is nuts enough, but on a two-year-old is just absurd.
Well, I didn't know who that was, and
no one knows
I knew
who
that
it
you
is.
Did. Well, I knew you did. And it's just funny, because that's what's so beautiful about that moment,
yeah,
is that kid's not understanding anything he
Zero.
Says. So,
Zero.
You know, John MacGyver's not going to throw him for a loop because he doesn't know anything. And then the little kid touches him. It was
right.
really cute.
Right. Right. But you have to know that that scene was so representative of many of Gilbert's events, because now he's very well known. People know who he is, so you know what you're getting when you pay to see him. But there have been, I'm sure, hundreds if not thousands of times in his career where he's done essentially what he did to that kid for 45 or 50 minutes, where he's on stage just pulling out references that the audience doesn't understand, doesn't get. And they made a point of saying he doesn't care. You know, he's not in it because it's the usual give and take of an audience and a performer. He's just going to do the same thing. It doesn't matter to him whether the audience knows it or likes it. He's just going to do it. Which
is so good.
It's so brave, but at the same time, you go, well, a guy like that will not succeed. You can't succeed if you're not taking the audience's likes and dislikes into account when you're performing. You're not. What's going to happen to you? He doesn't care.
There's a moment where he's performing a benefit at St. Jude's Research Hospital, and
yeah.
I got to be honest with you, that was so uncomfortable for me to watch, and I just wonder if it was really as well received as it seemed to be.
Well, he's performing in a room with parents whose children have cancer, and they're going to St. Jude, so it's this big benefit. And you're hearing these sad stories about these kids and their struggle with cancer. And he knows they keep cutting to him in the audience, because he knows when these sad stories are done, it's going to be his job to go up and entertain that room. And it's a transition that's impossible. I've done,
yeah.
Believe me, I will never forget. This is a night I will never, ever forget. There was a benefit at Zany's one night, and I knew going in this was going to be a tough night, because it was a child that had been burned in a fire. They were raising money for some little boy who had been burned really badly in a fire. And I was going to be the entertainment. And they went up and they told the story about how this kid got involved in a fire and what happened to him and the skin grafting and that part of his, you know, he'll never recover and stuff like that. And then with 5 seconds between, you know, the MC said, and now here's your entertainment for the night. Here's Bill Leff. And I went, oh, what is this going to become? So it becomes almost this mental chess game of you saying, look, what just happened is way more important than what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do this anyway. You know, they've got me here to entertain, so here we go. And Gilbert's, you know, the way he went about it was just masterful, wasn't it? I thought it was.
It really was, and it showed some of the people who were in tears moments before really, you know, getting the escape that they needed.
Sure. Yeah,
it was really, really amazing. I do have one question that was not answered, and maybe you can answer it.
What?
Gilbert Gottfried, when he got into trouble between Aflac stuff and between
9/11.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why does Disney hire him? It just seems like Disney, and that wouldn't be a good fit for Disney.
All right, so
and yet the
bulk of his Disney stuff came before that, because Aladdin predated both September 11 and what happened with the tsunami, right? So those were his two big trouble spots, were those two.
Right.
Right. And it was nice in the documentary, they went out of their way, his wife especially, to say how bothered he was at the negativity, especially with the tsunamis in Japan, because he didn't think it would get anywhere near. He was just Gilbert being Gilbert Gottfried, saying, here's an event, and the way I deal with anything, good, bad, or indifferent, is to make fun of it, you know, which is kind of the creed of almost anybody who's a stand-up, is finding
a
way.
It wasn't that funny, some of the jokes that they made, though, that he made.
Right.
It wasn't, again, it's like, if you're going to be not tasteful, have it be super funny.
Right, because that kind of forgives it a little bit.
But were
you bothered, like, there were friends of his who then, not completely turned on him, but you know how, like, Anderson Cooper just kind of turned his back on Kathy Griffin, even though they were extremely close, when the Trump photographs came out, Anderson Cooper just gave up on her really quickly. So they showed a couple of his friends, like Judy Gold, who you and I have had on the show.
Right.
Judy Gold then showed up on The View right away and talked about, oh, this was not a good thing that Gilbert did. And if that was a real friend, I don't know that she should have done that.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this before when Kathy Griffin came up. And if, like, you know, I know the odds of me doing something horrendous are way better than you doing something horrendous.
Maybe.
But
maybe.
If you did, I would be like, you know what? That was his decision. He's still a great friend of mine. I just really wouldn't be able to turn my back
right.
on you that quickly.
Right. And
I mean, you could even say, I don't agree, but, you know, still my friend.
Wendy, I already have statements that I've already printed out for things that you may do in the future that I just think I don't want to be caught unprepared. I'll just type up it's a 6-page statement that I'm going to just have ready at all times.
Good to know. Now the pressure's off me. I can act up.
I'll tell you another. This was another bizarre moment from last night, and then we'll take a quick break. So Gilbert thrives on these so incredibly obscure references that, honestly, in my head, I always say to myself, if 2% of the people got that joke, I'd be amazed, right? So at the very end, he's telling a story about what potentially is in his rectum. And he talks about the French restaurant that might be up there. And he's describing this French restaurant that is lodged up there. And he says, and the maitre d' would be Fritz Feld. Right? So Fritz Feld, again, an obscure actor, this time from the 40s and 50s, he was famous for doing this thing where he almost always played a waiter or a maitre d', where he would tell you what the specials of the day were, and then when he was done, he would bring his hand to his mouth and make a popping noise for reasons that nobody understands. Did you ever see him in a movie?
Yes, now that you say that.
So he would say, the specials of the day are, and he would go through the specials, and then when he was done, you'd hear like that, and he would almost slap himself in the face. So when he said, and the maitre d' at the restaurant in my rectum is Fritz Feld, I was laughing so hard, and I physically did that with my mouth and my hand, and then he did it a half a second later. So, and Terry just looked at me like, what's wrong with you? And I go, it's amazing that he would even mention this, Fritz Feld. It's so obscure.
Can I tell you, the best part of having Gilbert Gottfried in the studio with you, Bill, is definitely the interview, but to watch you two interact off the air, to me, is worth everything, because you're both bringing up names that I'm like, who's that?
Well, we don't do it for any other reason that, you know how in your brain you have stuff, it's like filed away in the attic that you go, I'll never need this, but I'm going to have it up there just in case. And when he shows up, the attic door opens, you know?
Oh, it does. I hear it
really
creaking.
It does. Yeah. Creeping. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Judy Pilak will be by. She'll give you the news, and then there's more stuff coming up. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
If your resolution is to live healthier in 2018, then you need to start taking a probiotic. And not just anyone. Take the world's best probiotic, Natron's Healthy Trinity. My family and I have been taking Healthy Trinity for years now. Natron's Healthy Trinity is a combo platter of three of the most potent probiotics available that support our immune systems and boost our natural defenses. 70% of our body's immune system is in the gut, so it's important to keep it healthy, especially this time of year. And the best part, there's no risk to try Healthy Trinity with the Natron 90-Day Challenge. If you don't feel the difference within 90 days, Natron will refund 100% of your purchase. That's how confident they are in their product's results. Log on to natron.com, that's N-A-T-R-E-N.com, and type Wendy in the promo code box. Order now and they'll throw in free second-day delivery. Call 1-866, the number 4-NATRON, or go to natron.com. Use promo code Wendy.
At MB Financial Bank, we have an understanding that no one knows your business better than you. You know what levers to pull on the floor to get machines running and whose buttons to press to get them motivated. You know how to work the electronic PLC on the line shaft conveyor because it's your business. You know the ins and outs. You get it. And MB gets that because we understand that every part of your business is important. MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
Every business is different, with a different vision and different assets. Yet most banks offer the same ideas and the same one-size-fits-all solutions. At Associated Bank, we believe banks should offer different solutions for different businesses. It just makes sense. That's why we take a different approach to commercial banking. One that takes the hassle out of banking and works to find customized solutions for you. One that puts relationships and trust first. Sure, that's a little different for a bank. But at Associated Bank, we believe relationships matter and personalized service should be the norm. From capital markets experts who can help set your business on an upward trajectory to treasury management experts with a knack for finding new ways to make your money work for you, we offer a full-service experience with innovative tools for managing your most valuable assets. To learn more about how Associated Bank takes a different approach to commercial banking, visit associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership or tune in every Thursday morning at 5:08 to WGN's The Opening Bell for a discussion on current financial trends and topics from Associated Bank. Member FDIC.
Wendy, you'll be pleased to know that Judy Pilak is in the studio, and she's safe, and she has news prepared for us.
That's good to
know. Isn't that good news?
I started reading her book yesterday.
Geek Love?
That she gave. Yes.
I just told her I'm looking for it. I have some time off next week, and I'm going to read it next week.
Well, maybe Wendy will be finished by then.
No, I'm on page 17. I've really decided that I can't read. I really can't.
Why?
I cannot focus on reading if there's anything else going on in the house. And the kids are off of school, and it's like I'm trying to read, and I'm listening into what they're doing. I cannot focus. My ADHD will not let me read.
Can I tell you something? A friend of mine hadn't read a book in almost a decade. He told me, he goes, it's been 9 years I've not read a book. And I told him about a book. I go, read this book. I lent him a book. And after that, he started reading like a book every other month because he said, I was just so out of practice. He goes, once you get back in practice, it becomes very easy. I think that's the same with
Wendy. Right, but I get what Wendy's saying. Sometimes there are periods where, because I'm an avid reader, but when I was sick and I was home, when I could read all the time, I did not read.
Really?
So for 2 years,
no books.
I hardly picked up a book. For the same reason, I couldn't focus.
Huh.
I know it because first of all, I know I'm kind of a lazy person, Bill. We've talked about it for a while. I hate the fact that I can't get up and go do things on my own. I think it's really changed me tremendously.
Oh, sure, I bet.
I hate when people have to wait on me.
Yeah.
I cannot stand it. So here I am, you know, like I have ice on my leg right now and it's elevated a little bit. And Jim texts me, he's like, "Do you want coffee?" I'm like, "No, I can get it myself." I hate that. So I cannot focus on. I can't let go enough to read right now.
First of all, the nerve of that guy trying to help you.
I know. Who does he think
now?
I know.
What a monster you've married.
He's been so good, I'm telling you.
Sure, you have to step up your game.
I wouldn't be that good to me.
No.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. All right.
But I'm going to try and read a little more this afternoon.
All right, that sounds good. And you're trying to find the book I recommended to you, right?
A Confederacy of Dunces. Yeah. Yes, I'm going to read that.
So good. So good. All right.
We got a book club going, guys.
Yes.
Screw you,
Oprah.
We'll talk about it afterward.
Yeah.
You know, I hate to talk movies all the time, but it is the time of year where, Bill, you and I are members of the SAG-AFTRA, and you get screeners for the SAG Awards.
Right. So these are the movies that will be hopefully nominated for things, and they want us to vote for them. So they send us the movies, and the only downside is that every 15 minutes there's a thing that comes on the screen saying
the FBI is in your
FBI
backyard.
The FBI is watching you while you're watching the
and
movie.
And please burn this when you're finished.
Right, don't give this to any of your friends.
Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. is in your hall. He knows what you're doing, and he will take you in if you screw this up.
Now, I thought those movies, everyone was nominated, Wendy. Is that not the way it goes? Aren't you watching those to see who you're going to vote for?
Oh, yes, you get these screeners, which, and Bill, you can attest to this, Hugo used to be better because you used to get a lot of them. Now some of them are digital downloads. Last year I got a screener that they forgot to put the disc in the container.
Oh, that's handy.
So that was The Big Short.
That
is that the one with?
Yeah.
So you didn't get to watch a free movie? What is wrong with them?
And I really, every year, want to take my time and really do a good job voting and watch each and every movie, and it's never happened, so I don't vote because I don't feel that's fair.
If you don't see all the movies, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So this year, I am really making an effort to see everything, and I watched Get Out last night.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
I didn't know what it was about. I think it's a really one of the best movies I've seen in a long time.
Oh,
it was very
so unbelievable because other people hate it.
It was very peculiar and very creepy, and I truly enjoyed it. Bill, your thoughts on that?
When I first saw it, I felt let down because it's essentially it's the Stepford Wives. It's almost
which I don't know that I've ever seen.
Stepford Wives is really good.
I thought we were friends.
Isn't that, that's Paul Apprentice who says that, right?
Yeah. I thought we were friends.
All right, so it was kind of a remake, a clever remake of that, but nobody was calling it that. But I go, come on, it's almost beat
You're
for beat.
Kidding.
It's
that's the
Stepford Wives.
First time I've heard that, so now I might be interested in seeing it.
But I that hurt.
I liked
like
it.
That hurt the movie for me. And then I went and I saw it on HBO a couple months ago when it came out on HBO, and I go, you know what? This is actually a lot better than I gave it credit for the
Everyone's
first time.
Everyone's talking about they hate the racism of it.
Well,
and I don't know what that means, but
it's interesting because without that aspect of it.
It wouldn't work.
It wouldn't work. You need that element to make it stand apart a little bit, you know? There's some very good messaging throughout the movie, and most of it is racism-based. But without that, I don't think you have much of a movie.
So it's the Stepford Wives with racism, and...
Yeah.
And it's funny, too? Is that what I'm...
It's
no,
mostly
it's creepy.
Scary.
It's a dark comedy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not a comedy at all. Would you say that, Bill?
It's, that people are describing it as a
well,
comedy.
Well, the bracket that it's in for the Golden Globes is comedy.
Yeah. Well, then, see, I don't know.
It's one of those
Wendy,
movies
come
that
on. You've
got to
do a better job voting here. They put Orange is the New Black under comedy, too, which, I'm sorry, that is not funny.
But it
oh,
has
no.
its moments.
It's a dark comedy for sure. What else, yeah. What do you consider a dark comedy, then?
Right.
Dark Shadows.
Dark Shadows.
Okay, that I would just consider dark.
You don't think Orange is the New Black is more of a drama? I don't
no,
see that as
dark
being
comedy.
A comedy.
Could it be?
That's not funny to me.
Could it be a dramedy, which is a real word? I didn't make up that word. There is that word, which is a combination of the two. Both of those would fit under
yeah.
dramedy.
Although I think dark comedy is better because...
If done properly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no,
yeah, yeah.
Orange is the New Black especially. Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, remember it was very...
How is that funny? I don't want to be in prison.
I know, but it's everything about it is ridiculous. And,
right, right.
Yeah, I mean, I laugh.
Yeah.
And then cringe.
Yeah.
So I cry. Be, I don't laugh.
It could be either. But well worth seeing, right? You thought Get Out was well worth seeing, right?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't have any idea what it was about. And isn't that Brian Williams' daughter?
Yeah. Allison Williams plays the female yeah. lead in it. She's stunning. She's so pretty and a really good actress.
She's a good actress.
She's in the, what's the Lena Dunham show that's on HBO? Is that Girlfriends? Is that what it's called?
Girls.
Girls.
Girls. Maybe.
Girls. Yeah, she's in that. That show doesn't do it for me. I've seen two episodes
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, me too. I've never watched it.
And that's supposed to be a comedy,
episode.
And I go, I'm not sure that this is, I don't know. I know a lot of people love it. I've only tried twice. Maybe I needed to try it again. Yeah, I don't know. Just kind of laid there
well,
for me.
Well, I liked Get Out, and I'm going to watch The Big Sick tonight. So I'm
oh, yeah.
Oh, that's really
that.
Good.
You'll like that.
Now, there, Wendy, I thought that was a straight-up comedy. Oh, no. It's
got some
yeah,
bite to it.
It definitely has some
yeah.
bite. Yeah.
yeah.
And it's good. It's really good.
And that's the guy from Silicon Valley, right? Is he the lead
yeah.
in it? Yeah.
Yeah. He's really funny.
He's
yeah.
funny.
He's, but it's,
a, nice
it's a true
SNL.
Story. That's what I love about it.
Yeah. It's his story.
Yeah. It's his story.
It's really what happened to him.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk lottery for just a little bit. Judy, you just said because the lotteries are at, they're not
almost,
their all time highs,
yeah.
but both lotteries are really, really high. And you said.
It's too much.
It's too
no,
much money.
No, it's never
it
too much.
You.
Never too much.
But you said you're gonna. This is the one you're gonna win.
Yeah,
you said.
I'm gonna win tonight.
Based
did
on
did you play?
I did.
Yeah,
I played yesterday.
Is Ryan Burrow in charge of getting everyone
no,
in the
I'm
newsroom
play,
together
I
to buy
my,
a ticket?
I have a new puppy named Lucky.
Yeah,
and I used.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and I used a combination of things with Lucky. And I've got my... I never do that, by the way.
That was also your stripper name.
Yeah, Lucky. And I happen
Lucky
to
Velour.
Be a Lucky. Lucky you.
Perfect name. Perfect name.
Right? Lucky you. And just the way I say it is how it works.
You know what my involvement with the lottery is? Like, I never, ever, ever play it. And then when they show the numbers... This is how I make myself happy. I see the winning numbers, and I go, yeah, those aren't the numbers I would have picked. Because they never are.
I do that too, Bill.
I never are.
I know. It's ridiculous, but I don't care. I always get quick picks, but this time I pick the numbers for both. For yesterday and today.
What would you do with $400 million? I mean, that's just too much. A
no,
million,
it's not. I already
million?
Have it all planned out, Wendy. I have a big chunk going to not even charity, but I'm going to come up with a great idea.
You do nice things with
help.
The money?
Yes.
The Judy charity.
At least half of it, yeah. And then, you know,
some stuff for yourself.
Damn college I got to pay off.
Some, but stuff for yourself and your family, certainly.
Plus.
But then you would also use some
yes.
of it to...
I'm going to immediately buy a huge compound somewhere on
are
the
you?
Ocean. Yeah.
That's what Jim Jones said.
There will be no Kool-Aid at mine.
Really, compound was a weird Kool-Aid. Word there, Jude.
Well, I meant, you know, a big, huge...
mansion.
No, I do mean
go
compound.
With mansion over so compound. Everyone... Compound sounds like there's barbed wire and rifles.
No, it's going to be a whole bunch of little houses around and...
And Bertrand can't come in.
No.
No Bertrand.
No.
No, absolutely not.
Bertrand
no.
Free Zone.
Bertrand Free Zone.
He's going to try and get in on an ATV, but she won't let him in.
Yeah, he'll get in on a boat and we'll knock him down. We'll knock him back.
Now, what's good about you is that you play and you have in your mind the idea that you could win, but I know there's a couple of people in my life who start out almost every sentence with, when I win the lottery,
That's how I talk.
Do you do that?
Yes,
I've never heard you do that.
I know I'm going to win the lottery.
You're not going to win it.
I am going to win it.
I love you, but you're not going to win
it. I'm going to win it. And I told Bill when I do, I'm going to pay for his next vacation.
Oh, that's so nice of you.
What
Thank
would you,
you
like, Wendy?
That's so nice.
Well, I already have two artificial knees. How about...
what else do you
some
need?
Artificial other...
How about a bionic arm? I could probably get you one
sure.
of those.
Wendy's morphing into Jamie
I don't
Summers.
Want anything from you, Jude.
Come on, I want to get you a little something-something.
Oh, that's so
I
nice.
I want to spend a week on your compound.
All right, perfect.
Wendy weeks. Already knows this, but I'll tell you, there's somebody in the media, in Chicago media, who, not his direct family, but the family he kind of married into, they won the lottery, and they won millions of dollars.
Wait, did he marry them after or before?
They were married, weren't they?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So
I forgot who it was.
He says, I can't say it on the air, but he says it tore their family to shreds. That winning that much money, winning millions of dollars, where you would think, well, all your problems are now gone. He said what happened was everybody came at different times and said, look, I really need the money for this. And you gave that guy this much money. How about me? And how about your sister? You should give her more because she's your sister. I married in. He said it just tore apart. Nobody would talk to each other in the family anymore.
Yes, I know. I do hear that. Well, I mean, that happens when people die and there's an inheritance. And
yeah, I guess so.
I've actually even been through it a little bit. So
you've seen this happen?
I don't understand that. I mean, I guess with the inheritance, but if somebody wins the lottery, it is not written in law somewhere that you have to share it with your family. If someone offers and says, you know, Bill, I won $400 million. Right. You've been a good partner of mine. I want to give you $1 million because you know what? You deserve it.
Yeah,
but you would never ask me for it.
But if you're, you know, say, you know, your dad won the lottery and didn't share it with you.
Right.
I get it. I could see how animosity would fester there.
Right.
Especially if you needed the money. So because you almost have to make a decision. You're going to help your family or you're not.
I say no.
That's what I'm with you. I'm sorry. My kids, okay, but no one else.
Yeah.
I would have a hard time because in my life, there are people that are closer to me. You know, I've got like a cousin that is like a brother to me. And like right off the bat, I'd say, what do you need? You know? But then if my brother came and said, I need $80, I'd go, I don't know.
80?
Here's 40.
That's Judy. He's not kidding.
I know, but I get it. I do.
But that's just.
I hope your brother's not listening.
No, he doesn't. No. He can't afford a radio. So it's tough, you know, because you want to think you'd be generous to everybody, but the reality is you would be kind of, but not really.
Yeah.
You know,
but for $400 million, you couldn't be generous to your entire family. $400 million.
When you say entire,
that's
do you mean
money,
immediate you family, or do you mean like everybody you see at weddings and funerals, family?
And what do you mean generous? I mean, when people just come and ask for money, and sometimes you know what? If I give you money, I know what you're going to do with that money.
Right.
So how about I pay your mortgage or I buy you a place to live?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, that might. But
like,
you know
pay
what?
Off your house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When does it stop, though? You know,
that'd be
the
tough.
Sob
when
stories?
You run out of money.
I guess, yeah.
But
that's why I would move to that compound far, far away.
With a high gate.
And when I say compound, I mean a wall.
And a moat.
Yeah. And a moat.
Judy Pilak had a moat put in. I don't know anyone.
I'm going to have knights in shining armor. Oh my gosh, I can't wait.
Just on top, though, their butts will be exposed.
And Judy will have like a spyglass.
Right.
There goes Kyle.
I want to visit her compound, Bill.
Oh,
yes.
It's a great compound. It's a great compound.
You guys, you pick your weeks now. Fills up quick.
What if just a friend won it? Like, Wendy, your example was nice. Like you said, if you won it, I wouldn't ask you, of course, for money, but you'd say, here's some money, you know? Now go away. That's what Wendy would say. Here's some money. Please go away.
Finally.
But it'd be tough because there's friends that you go, I would like to help these people. They've meant so much to me over the years. So
then why don't you help them?
Yeah. You don't know when to draw the line, though. You know?
I guess it's, yeah, well, there is no line. You're right. There
It'd be really tough.
The parameters are going to be made because there are none.
And a lot of people who win the lottery, I know this will sound awful, because it is awful, but I'll say it anyway. You see the winners on the news and you say to yourself, that guy can't handle $100 million. Look at that guy. He's not used to having $100 million. This isn't going to end well. And then it doesn't end well.
Right. Remember what happened?
Most people aren't used to having, the people who win aren't don't know what it's like to have $100 million.
Right.
Remember our first millionaire?
Michael Witkowski.
Yeah, well, what happened to him?
He bought a bowling alley. And then it all just went up in a puff of smoke.
He's the perfect example.
He went broke.
Yep.
Remember, they would always interview, like, on the anniversary, on the 1 year, on the 5 year, on the 10 year. They'd go back and they'd talk to people who were his friends, and they go, yeah, it changed him. It just ruined him. All of a sudden, he was a jerk, you know, that kind of thing. But I always wonder if that's just bitterness because he won the millions and they didn't, or did he really change and become a jerk?
Yeah. Well, obviously.
Yeah, maybe he didn't give him money.
He didn't give him money.
Oh, maybe.
Exactly.
But if that was his, don't you say to yourself, if that was this guy's dream, don't deny him his dream. It's his money. If he wants to blow it, he can blow it any way he wants, right?
I guess.
I would light a cigar with $100 bills.
Wait, you do that anyway.
I would smoke $100 bills.
Wendy already does that. That's no different. All right, listen
to this
story.
They're just bubblegum cigars.
When I was a little kid, my great-grandparents lived in Florida. So my great-grandmother died. And left, of course, her money to her husband. She had quite a bit of money. He didn't have that much. But now, all of a sudden, he had a crazy amount of money. So all of a sudden, he started going to the racetrack every day. He never gambled in his life at all. But he starts going to the racetrack and betting like $100 a race. And then that becomes $1,000 a race. And people keep calling my dad saying, hey, you got to talk to your grandfather. He's blowing $1,000 per race. And my dad goes, absolutely not. It's his money. If he wants to blow his money on racing, let him blow it on racing. And he did. Blew all of it on racing.
He blew it all?
All of it.
Oh, my gosh.
Completely gone.
See, then
mad? Yeah, then were you...
Well, I wasn't mad because I didn't expect any trickle. I wasn't going to get any money out of it.
So this was your dad's dad?
This was my dad's grandfather.
Oh, grandfather. Okay.
Yeah, it's my great-grandfather. Mm,
yeah.
So, but everyone in the family was like, hey, all that money that they saved all those years that we all thought we'd get, my dad goes, it's their problem. It's not our problem. He wants to do
See,
it.
See, now that actually, Wendy, for the lottery,
I would have
that's
interfered.
A good no, that's a good attitude to have. So that he's a good candidate for the lottery.
Meaning, if it's,
yeah,
if it's your money,
yeah, and he's got it's black and white for him. Some other people are like, well, yeah. See,
yeah.
I'm kind of more black and white too. I know exactly the people I will help and those that I will not.
Do you have a written list? Can I see the list?
No, it's in my head.
Oh.
It's on it, isn't
could
it?
You yeah. take
the people who I won't help probably couldn't find me, so it won't be bad. You know, they won't be able to get to me.
Right. Because of the compound.
Yeah. It's going to be kind of remote. So you got to fly in and take an ATV. And
will there be James Bond music as you're playing, as you're flying into the remote?
James Bond will meet you at the gate.
Ding, 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 ding,
oh,
ding.
I'm there. I want Jaws to meet me.
I don't think you're asking a lot, Wendy. I think that's very realistic.
I am the second I get the compound, the next thing will be the net that goes into the ocean.
Oh, yeah. You got to have
no
a net.
Sharks.
Yeah. That makes sense. We didn't have a whole lot of time to talk about this, and I'm looking at the clock, and I know we don't have a whole lot of time now, but Wendy, you brought this up at the very beginning of the show. Actually, it came up in Crosstalk, and that's Donald Trump messing with Kim Jong-un and teasing him about the size of his nuclear button.
Yeah.
Now, here's
what is going on?
Here's a discussion I had earlier with Steve Bertrand, the aforementioned Steve Bertrand. Was he, in your opinion, was he trying to be funny? What was his goal in that? Donald Trump's goal in the talk of whose button is larger?
He's trying to be funny, but there's also that bravado behind it, too. Like, you know, people of America, the greatest country ever, don't worry, I got this. I don't think he does. This is like childish games going, like we talked about that YouTuber before doing crazy things on YouTube.
Yeah.
That's what I liken this to.
Yeah. And this is...
I'm fearful.
It was intended to be as phallic as it sounds, right? I mean, when Donald Trump was tweeting that, he knew what it really was, didn't he?
My button's bigger and it works.
Right. That wasn't
Can
by
I just
accident.
Chime in here?
Please.
We're talking about, just so I'm clear, the president of the United States.
Yes, our current
Thank
president.
You. All right. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, I think
that's
I
the
just
worst
threw
part.
Up a little.
That's the worst part.
I said to Steve Bertrand this morning, I said, like every day something is said or done and you go, well, this is so perfect for what's going on. But this is the ultimate because this is potential nuclear war. I mean, it really is. If these guys are as nuts as we think they are, and there's no indication to believe otherwise.
And they very well could be.
Right. Right. This little game of whose is bigger could end in annihilation.
Yeah.
That's how tragic it is. I mean, it should be funny. I mean, I know
it's not funny.
It should be, but it's not.
Yeah, it's God. I have a little decorum, dude.
Right.
I mean, just
right.
And as
I said yesterday to my kids, I said, "Why did I even bother getting my knee replaced? I don't even need my knee in a couple years. We'll be annihilated. Really? What do I care if it hurts?
Give you the best knee in the world.
You might have to run for a while, though. So
but the best knee in the world, God. You can't run far enough from a nuclear holocaust.
No, and I mean, for Mr. Trump to think. Kim Jong-un is so hilarious and so ridiculous. Really?
Right.
Really?
See, look in the mirror.
I thought it hit its pinnacle with you're fat, you're stupid, you're old, you're fat.
Rocket Man.
Right. I thought, well, can it get weirder than that? Oh, guess what?
Sure it can.
They found a way.
You actually thought that? That's hilarious.
I did. Yeah, I really did. All right, we must take a break, and then we'll close things off.
Hopefully we'll be here on the other side
of
the commercials.
All of our fingers are crossed.
I'll win the lottery, so I'll be okay.
Yeah, you'll win, and then the world will explode.
My compound will be a nuclear-free.
Nuclear-free, nuclear-safe. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll close things off. Thanks, Jude. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Wendy, who's that, Jeff Glass from the Blackhawks?
I don't know.
I believe his brother is the boyfriend of Jan Brady, I believe, George Glass.
Oh.
I hope he gets some tickets to the game. It'd be nice to see him again. That's it for today's show. Can you believe it? Seems we just get started, and before you know it, comes the time we have to say so long.
Oh, Carol Burnett. Thank you, Carol.
Carol Burnett. All right, everybody. Tomorrow, yes. Tomorrow, another fun-filled adventure. The Thursday version of our show. I don't know who's on, but I know they're great.
I can't wait.
Is there a way? I'm not sure, Jasmine, who's on. Do you have a list for tomorrow's show? Nope.
Dean's in L.A., so we won't talk to him.
We will not talk to him?
Sure.
We may talk to him.
57% sure.
Oh, all right.
But if not, we have Patrick McDonald.
All right, so somebody will be on to discuss the world of film.
Somebody will be.
All right.
And I've been so into film lately.
Wendy, you're going to be on fire tomorrow.
I know. I'm going to watch more
stuff
tonight.
You're going to be great. All right. That's it for today, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.